It is just after 5:35 on a Wednesday afternoon. Toronto Mayor John Tory joins us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and he is here with us now. Nice to have you, sir.
Hi, guys.
Let's start off with Dr. Davila. She sent a letter, this was breaking news just after 2 o'clock today, to the Chief Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Williams, asking for Toronto to remain in lockdown to at least, and these were her words, at least March 9th. Can you explain to the people listening why this is the case and why? What do we need to see to come out of that lockdown once we get to March?
Yes, I should point out, by the way, the letter was sent jointly with the Medical Officer of Health for Peel, so Mississauga and Brampton, Dr. Lowe. And, you know, Peel and Toronto have been the hardest hit areas of the province, and, you know, we have millions of people that are living in very densely populated areas. But I think the concern here that she articulated very well is, first and foremost, that we need to have some evidence the schools have opened safely. It just happened basically yesterday, and we need to make sure that goes well. But then I think layered on top of all of that is a very, very deep concern that she has about these variants. And she went through today what the growth of the variants has been in Germany, in Britain, and what they went through. And she said, as I did in supporting her recommendation, that I think the worst thing we could do is to reopen too quickly and end up having another shutdown. And I think people want this to be the last shutdown. And therefore, if we're cautious about how we come out of it, with the presence of these variants very much on everybody's minds, including the experts, then I think we can avoid having a shutdown, get the vaccinations underway as we approach the spring, and by summer we can be in a much different position. But we sure don't want to be in another lockdown just as the patios are supposed to open and the businesses are all supposed to be in a much better place.
So the follow-up question comes from someone named Samantha in our audience saying, maybe I'm missing something here, but if the only difference between lockdown and the gray zone is that small retailers can open up at 25% capacity, there is no evidence that small retailers are causing cases. What are the risks in moving to gray?
That is so frustrating for me. I addressed this at the press conference today, and I understand what Samantha's saying. She's assuming that Dr. Davila or me or anybody else are blaming small retailers or blaming restaurants for the spread of COVID. What is to blame for the spread of COVID or the variant is people being in contact with each other, which is why if there was one thing that we left in place and you could actually make sure everybody followed it, namely to stay at home, then you wouldn't have to worry about anything else. But the idea here isn't to blame small retailers or to blame restaurants. The idea is to say that we need people to have fewer places to go so that they're not in contact with others. And the evidence of the variants is they are far more easily transmissible than even COVID-19. So that's why she is so worried about it. She said today this is the most worried she's been at any day during this pandemic. And believe you me, when I go through all the meetings we've been through and all the terrible things we've had to talk about and the thousands of people in Toronto alone that have died, and she says it's the day she's worried the most, I pay attention to that.
So when we talk about the date being at least March 9th, does that mean that that's still up for discussion as well as we move forward?
Well, the whole thing is up for discussion in the sense that I guess, the province has its own schedule that it was thinking of adhering to. And, you know, I did happen to hear the call you had with the guy who said, why doesn't John Tory do something for the people and just let things open up? And I was thinking to myself, isn't it odd that what I'm trying to do for the people with the Medical Officer of Health, which is to keep them healthy, to stop a complete overstressing of our healthcare system, to stop people from dying, to stop the thing from happening in Ontario and in Toronto that happened in other countries with these variants, that's not seen as being for the people. You're only for the people if you allow things to open up. And so the answer to your question is, I guess no one knows, but I think everybody felt it was better to set a date of March the 9th and really, really see if we can all work hard collectively together to be in a position with the variants where we fought those to the ground too by then, and we could begin to reopen. And that's just being honest about this as opposed to, you know, trying to tell people. I mean, I wish I could be conveying good news when I sit at that meeting avail or when I'm talking to you guys. But I don't think we're in a good news zone. And I think no one would remember the good news from today if we'd said, yeah, we're opening up and things are much better, if, 6 weeks from now we're having to announce we're closing again. No one will thank us for that. No one will remember the good news. The schools would be closed again. Everything would be closed again because they're saying there's a possibility this wave, the third, could be even worse than the second. And I listen to that. I ask a ton of questions. I look at all kinds of other reports written from elsewhere. And I believe that on balance, there's a real possibility of that. And that means you have to be honest in how you react to that.
I'm not sure this next question is going to do anything for your blood pressure here either, but we just talked to MPP Roman Baber. He's an independent now. He was kicked out of the Progressive Conservative Caucus. He's suggesting, and he put forward a private member's bill today, to reduce MPP's pay because he believes that politicians like yourself should walk in lockstep or at least know what it's like to be in people's shoes. We get this question every single time you're on. We don't ask it because it would become redundant. We get it so much. What do you think? Just put it on the record. What do you think about that idea? Are politicians really that out of touch from what everybody else is going through?
Well, I think that we're out of touch, but I mean, you might argue that I'd be out of touch given the salary that I get paid as mayor, even the, you know, my own personal financial circumstances, that I'd be out of touch every single day. And I try to keep myself very closely in touch, and as a result have been probably the strongest advocate for sick days, for support programs for people and so on. And so I believe that to reduce my salary, we've all frozen our salaries this year. We've frozen the cost of living increase. In fact, as I've told you before, I donate the equivalent and more to my salary of my salary to charity every single year. But these things to me are actually irrelevant to the fact that we're just doing our job, and I'm doing my best. And I just think that people would far rather have me focus hard on doing the job well and making the right decisions and doing the right thing and being honest and straightforward with them than they would something like that. And that's speaking only for myself. I can't speak for my colleagues in terms of what they think is right for them. I've told you what I do, and all the senior staff, by the way, and all the people at the City Hall are not taking any cost of living increase or any other raise this year.
As I was driving into work today, I saw the remnants of the overnight fire that happened at that homeless encampment. What have you learned since that happened earlier this morning about the surrounding that event?
Well, it's an extraordinary tragedy, first of all, anytime any of these kinds of things happen. And I can just tell you that the Streets to Homes team, who do such a magnificent job going out every single night of the year, not just in the winter, and visiting with people who are living on the street, living in encampments, and try to convince them to come inside and to take shelter. And so they visited with 70 people, just as an example last night, 70 different people, of whom 10 accepted the invitation to come inside in a place we had available for them. They actually had visited this encampment at 2:30 in the morning, and we're offering blankets and offering people to be taken inside, and they didn't accept that offer. And this terrible tragedy ensued after that, and this is not the first encampment fire we've had, nor is it the first loss of life. And so what we're really redoubling our efforts on is to build more supportive and affordable housing to house people properly. But I will point out, 3,200 people have been housed from the shelter system and from encampments since the beginning of the pandemic. And so, unfortunately, there are still more that have to be helped in this way, and we're going to continue to try and help them and continue to try and have them not live in encampments, which are not safe and they're not healthy. We've argued that consistently.
I hate to bring a conversation.
Brian, I'm here to answer your questions. So
I know, but it's about the tree maintenance people, and
that's
I kind of
okay.
just shake
oh,
my
hey,
head.
Look, I get me going on that. I'm probably more vociferous about that than you are. Look,
there was video released yesterday.
Let me tell the audience. Behavior, so you know, that's my view.
So the auditor showed video yesterday.
Yep.
You got all these workers spending hours sitting around while billing taxpayers for the work. A lot of them ignoring safety requirements. Some of them smoking. Some of them up there by wires cutting branches while they're on the phone. Pretty disgraceful stuff.
I totally agree. It's disgraceful. It's not acceptable. The city manager is working on plans that will be implemented over sort of a 30, 60, 90-day series of windows to make changes there, and I think you're going to see the changes are going to be significant. There are going to be people held to account, and we're going to just change the way we do business. And, you know, look, human beings, as you know, there's going to be somebody in every workplace that tries to get away with not doing things. And I would point out, because you asked me once before, these were actually mostly private sector contractors who had their employees doing this, but when I say had their employees, they weren't instructing their employees to do it, but their employees were doing it. But we're going to fix these things, and I think there shouldn't have been two reports needed to get to where we're going to be. There should have been just one, but that's why there are going to be changes.
I promised one of our callers who called in just before 3 o'clock that we would play his question for you. It has to do with
well,
you running
again.
Well,
that's the call
again.
I heard, so I know the question.
Yeah, let me play it for you here so I can do him a service.
You don't think that any of the medical experts, Davila or anybody else, is really in risk of not paying their mortgage? And, you know, John Tory said in the beginning he was only going to be a two-term mayor. Now he may be thinking about a third term. But with the decisions he's lining up against, I mean, he's not making any, he's not really doing anything that's going to show that he is for the people, and then he's going to make sure, you know, we're all going to come out of this.
You sort of addressed the last part of that, but are you looking towards running again?
Well, I will just say this. I haven't made any decision. I haven't started to think about it. I mean, people, I think, can imagine that I've been extremely busy both trying to continue to run the city and manage its finances prudently. Our budget's coming forward tomorrow for final approval, and to deal with the pandemic at the same time. So you don't really have much time to think about politics. But the pandemic has postponed a lot of the things, or put the schedule off of a lot of the things I'm doing. So look, we'll come to politics when it's time to come to politics, which is when the pandemic is over, and deal with it at that time. But in the meantime, I just hope people will understand that you are not just for the people because you tell them what they want to hear. Yeah, I think you're really for the people when you're honest with them and tell them what you think is the very best decision you can make in an extraordinarily unprecedented and dangerous circumstance, and that's what I did today, and that's what I'll continue to do. And you know what? If I run again, I'll be held accountable for those decisions.
Mr. Mayor, we'll talk to you on Friday.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
That's Toronto Mayor John Tory. He joins The Rush again at 5:35 on Friday afternoon.
Totally running again.
That was Jay.
There, you spit your water. That's a win for me.